Good evening, Pittsburgh. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late-night talk show, coming to you from the Center for Media Innovation at Point Park University in beautiful downtown Pittsburgh. Visit us at bergvivant.com for more on this interview and our complete archives in the Vivant Vault, as well as how you can help support our program and Pittsburgh's vibrant cultural landscape. Anya, Delana, what did I do to deserve such amazing cocktail company here tonight on Berg Vivant? Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, yeah. Are you comfy? How are the drinks?
They're really good.
Spared no expense.
Strong.
For you.
Just that, like John Henry.
That's a wonderful segue, by the way.
You can segue anything from a drink, right?
Wow. That is my motto. Actually, you've been reading my mail or my diary, either way. But that's a wonderful segue into the show that you are both working on right now, which is J.H. Mechanics of a Legend, produced by Hiawatha Project, which is a company that, Anya, you have founded.
Yes.
What is the Hiawatha Project?
Hiawatha Project is an original performance company, so we create all of the works from the ground up over a long divide, what we call a devised process. And we take a specific social issue, and we look at it through the lens of mythology, often using Joseph Campbell's The Hero's Journey as a guide. Mm-hmm. What we call free association techniques, or collective creation techniques with an artistic ensemble, and a lot of movement, physical exploration, to get us out of our head and into the time and space of the theater.
Where does the name Hiawatha Project come from?
A couple of places. Hiawatha was a Native American chief, a real historical person, and also a person of great legend. He was someone who brought what we call the Iroquois tribes. They call themselves something much more beautiful, which I'm not going to try and pronounce here. And during a
Have
time
another drink.
Yeah, during a time of great warring, and he brought all the tribes together through storytelling and peace. So that's part of it. He also ascended to heaven on a white canoe and met a giant hawk at a lake, and you know, so
if we can all be so fortunate.
Right.
I mean, what do I have to do in life to achieve that kind of nirvana?
Right. But also Thornton Wilder's Pullman Car Hiawatha is a one act, which was something he wrote in school, which was the precursor to The Skin of Our Teeth in our town. And it's a beautiful piece that really spoke to me. And so it's kind of based off of those two ideas.
I had an old relative, a great aunt of mine, that when something drug on too long, she would always say, "This is longer than Little Hiawatha." the novel, I suppose.
It's a long poem.
Oh, it's a long
little
poem.
Little Hiawatha, right.
Oh, okay. Well, now that makes sense to me. you've really solved something for me. Because then I find myself saying it. I'm like, what does this mean?
Right.
No,
well,
I know.
Good. See, just Hiawatha has already helped you find some inner...
I'm on that...
Inner track of like what your grandmother was showing you.
About to talk to the hawk.
Yeah.
So the upcoming project with Hiawatha Project is J.H. Mechanics of a Legend, mm-hmm. which you have written, and which will star, among others, Miss Delana Flowers. And this is the story of John Henry, is that right?
Right. It's inspired by the legend of John Henry, and also a really incredible book called Steel Drive-In Man, John Henry, the Untold Story of an American Legend, written by Scott Reynolds Nelson. And he's a historian who found quite plausibly the real John Henry by taking all of the different versions of the ballad. There's almost 200 versions, and it evolved right after the Civil War, during the Reconstruction era, the earliest versions that we find. And he treated them as primary resources, because right after the Civil War, many African Americans clearly couldn't read or write because it had been illegal for them to do so. And so he treated them as coded messages. And there was an obscure line that said they took John Henry to the White House and they buried him in the sand with an inch of sand between his grave, which everybody was like, it's just an old ballad, obscure lines. But he put together some really interesting historical pieces through his investigation process and found that, I'm going to mess up the dates, but in the early 2000s, they found 300 African-American bodies buried by the railroad track with an inch of sand between their grave. And he found that the main building behind them was white, and it was the Virginia Penitentiary. And so he, through this incredible process, found the real John Henry, who was an African-American Union soldier, fought during the Civil War, was in Virginia at the wrong time of the place, at the wrong time in the wrong place when the Black Codes came down during the Reconstruction era, was incarcerated unjustly and put on a chain gang. And he died racing a steam drill, along with any other person that would have entered that tunnel within the space of 5 years because of the silica dust that had entered their lungs.
Wow.
So the show looks at that real history, pieces apart the legend, and how those two things sort of blend together in the show. We also look at the real machine that killed John Henry, which wasn't the steam drill, it wasn't technology necessary, it was human machines. So we're breaking down societal machines through mechanics definitions. So the script is made up of mechanics definitions, the pieces of the ballad, and primary research from the 1870s, newspaper articles and freedmen narratives, free women narratives, which sort of blend together in a long form poem, much like perhaps
Little Please, not as long though.
No, the show is only an hour and a half.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It was a 15-minute intermission, so it's like an hour and 45.
That's great, little boutique you know, theater experience. And Delana, you play John Henry's wife
yes.
in this. What is it like to be in a show like this, which I imagine is very emotional, very powerful?
It is. Every time we do rehearsals, somebody leaves with tears. It's heavy subject matter. It's heavy, and what makes it even heavier is that it's still very relevant to things that are happening today, and that makes it even harder. On top of thinking about the stories that we're telling are not just stories, this was actually someone's life. Someone lived through the things that we're discussing. Someone lived through torture. Someone lived through the terrible things that we're describing.
And within the show, we cite each of the sources, so you will hear a story of a couple being torn apart and how they ran away from slavery and tried to find each other again. And then we will cite their names and the source that they were found. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these we dug up in archives, and a lot of them were self-published, these people, and self-educated. Mm-hmm. And they wrote their own autobiographies, and they've sat in some like state library that somebody found a long time ago, and then we've refound them, and we cite their names in the show. And so a lot of times it's like the weight of their ghosts are in the room with us, you know, like they've waited this long for their story to be told. So
that's heavy.
It is. Do you need another drink?
I will in about 2 seconds.
Right.
But music is a big part of this too, isn't there? And a lot of the songs were arranged based on old existing hymns and songs from the era.
Right. So the script has been taken. There's over 200 different versions of the ballad. So I have woven in along with the cast, because it truly is a devised work. So we've been in workshops for over 2 years with the cast, monthly workshops to develop pieces of the script. And they've been pieced together with so that pieces of the ballad begin to tell different stories. Right. But then we have all original music arranged by Carly Wozenegger. Do you want to talk a little bit about the music?
Yes, it's been really interesting working with the music, because the music is its own story, and it's how we got this story in the first place. It survived this long because of music. And if I remember correctly, it was like one of the most redone ballads. I mean, everybody from like Bruce Springsteen has a recent version.
You know, Johnny Cash's version, yeah. Harry Belafonte's.
Yeah.
But you know, we have in our research, you know, recordings from prison inmates in the 1890s. I think was the earliest recording we found. You can find ska versions. You can find
all different
kinds. You know, so his story and the song has influenced artists through, you know, since its beginning. Mm-hmm.
But the all of the music in this performance is going to be sung a cappella, is that right?
Mm-hmm, yes.
And I imagine Ms. Flower's lovely voice will be put to good use. We are really looking forward to that. Here on Berg Vivant, we've done a few reviews of some shows that you've sung in, and Lonnie the Theater Lady and Mike Buzbazelli have sung your praises. And my spies tell me that you may have prepared a little preview of a piece that you will be singing for us here tonight. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
And that is The Ballad of John Henry, arranged by Carly Wozenegger. Mm-hmm. Let's look.
John Henry was on the mountain. Yes, the mountain was so high. He called to his pretty little wife. Said, I can almost touch the sky, Lord, Lord. Said, I can almost touch the sky.
As always, thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to watch our video portion of this segment and more at bergvivant.com. We'll see you here next week on Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late night talk show.